Clark, our occasional essayist and volunteer photographer. Thanks for coming by.
I'm glad to be here, Dave.
Well, people have seen your photography in a lot of places lately, and I just thought it might be interesting to talk a little bit about some of the general things that you're doing right that others of us might mimic and get a few better results out of our photography. What jumps out to you that you've learned to do over the years that maybe people slightly more amateur than yourself could improve on?
I think everyone can benefit from learning some of the rules of composition, because a lot of them take what I call mom photographs. My mother has a bulletin board, and almost every photograph on her bulletin board looks precisely the same. It involves one of two situations. It's either a graduation photo where it's a head and shoulder shot, which is fine, or it's a group of people standing side by side, but like a group of sardines, and they're all centered in the picture. They're all standing static. There's no movement. There's nothing interesting in the picture unless you know the individuals. And I also see people sometimes taking pictures of landscapes with no thought toward composition whatsoever, simply trying to open the window of their vehicle, stick their camera outside, take the picture, and then go post it on Facebook.
Normally an iPhone, so you can post it right there.
Correct.
Well, you do have an SLR camera with a lens that gives you some creative flexibility. But I think a lot of what you're talking about can be done with a point and shoot or an iPhone. But when you talk about composition, what do you mean exactly? And maybe you can tie this into an example, like, let's say it's Tug of War, downtown Dillingham, Beaver Roundup.
When I was shooting Tug of War, and I'll preface this by saying that I've shot a lot of sports because I used to be a photojournalist, and I'm trying to get rid of all the distracting elements in the photo. I noticed a lot of people standing back, and I understand their reticence to get up close and take pictures, but by standing back, they include a lot of things that don't matter to the photograph. And I just got in there next to the guys pulling on the rope. Really key to making sports photography work is expressions. You've got to get people's expressions. You've got to get their eyes. There are some exceptions that look great without that, but you want expressions in your sports photography if you can possibly get it. It makes it so much more interesting.
How about shooting the Subway Footlong Challenge? One of my reporters was there, and we don't want to mention Matt's name and embarrass him, but your photos were excellent. I would say they were better. What's the trick there?
Where you were made every bit of difference. Many people were there with their camera phones shooting from about eye level. Every contestant was seated. That meant the contestant's face was down below them, so many people were shooting the tops of people's heads. I got down, put one knee on the ground so that I could shoot up and get faces.
All right, well, let's talk about the ordinary and the familiar subject material you excel at capturing. Now, we're blessed to have scenery and wildlife here that any dummy could take good photos of, but you turn your focus elsewhere, and it works. You've been sauntering around town the last few weeks, taking pictures of things that most people around here have probably seen most every day of their life, but you've turned them into a bit of art, and you're finding something beautiful in the overlooked or the ugly or the ordinary. What's your technique here? What gives?
There's
an example.
There's not an easy answer to that. I've taken pictures of the post office or pictures of the city dock and the seawall, and a lot of it has to do with finding the right lighting or finding the right texture or finding the right foreground. I spend a lot of time looking, and the more you take pictures, the more you start to see things. I'm constantly looking for lines and shapes and colors that please me that I think I can do something with. And it's important for people to realize that for every really good picture that I put on Facebook, there's dozens of pictures that I don't show anybody because they're crap.
Huh. Yes, well, same as in radio. Okay, if somebody doesn't know what an f-stop is or exposure, or they don't have a 200-millimeter lens, Clark Fair's tips to grabbing a few better photos, whether they're point and shooting or what?
Well, I would say that there isn't anything really more important than controlling the light. it's the most crucial aspect of photography. With no light, you got no picture. And then, honestly, we all can benefit from the rules of composition. So learn them, try them, and then after you get good at them, break the rules, because you don't have to follow the rules all the time. That's boring.
This weekend you'll have students, and you're going to put them on some assignments, and you're going to take them to some places they've probably seen many times. How do you challenge them to get better photographs out there along Squaw Creek or somewhere?
It would be the same thing if I were teaching a writing course and I gave them the elements of composition or what I thought would make for good fiction writing, and then said, I want you to write about this, and it was something that they were all already familiar with and thought maybe would be boring. And I said, I might say, don't let it be boring. Find a new way. We all have individual voices, so our writing shouldn't sound exactly the same. We all have individual ways of viewing the world, so our photography shouldn't look the same. Even if we take six or seven of us and we all stand around the same boat or the same building or the same old tractor or whatever it happens to be, we all see it differently, and our pictures should reflect the differences that are inside of us.
Clark Fair, thank you so much.
Pleasure being here, Dave.
Mona Lisa, Mona Lisa, men have named you. You're so like the lady with a mystic smile. Is it only 'cause you're lonely they have blamed you for that Mona Lisa strangeness in your smile? Do you smile to tempt a lover, Mona Lisa? Or is this your way to hide a broken heart? Many dreams have been brought to your doorstep. They just lie there, and they die there. Are you warm? Are you real, Mona Lisa? Are just a cold and lonely, lovely world.